in the hadith, a very famous and popular dua of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This, in terms of the hadith, is present, and this is that dua, that prayer that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that supplication that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to his very beloved companion Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu. He taught this dua to Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu. And this was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that after doing salam, he would, after doing salam, after completing the prayer, he would do this dua. And mashallah, you brothers also recite this. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatika. So this is dua. This is a supplication. And in reality, what is dua? This is a message in the dua. There's a message that is being delivered. And it is being told in this dua that do this amal. Do this, implement this deed. So there is an exhortation towards a deed, amal. And when a person does dua for amal, when a person supplicates for amal, if we don't utilize the resources and the means, then what's the point of doing dua? Yes? That we have the means towards the end. So first you implement something, and when you implement the action, then you do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instills progression in that deed. And this is the color of the du'as, of the supplication, that when a person supplicates, first he does the action physically. So first physically implement the action, and then do du'a and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his acceptance and his help. And this is the norm in everything in the world. Now if we don't open the shop and we do du'a that Allah increase my rizq, Allah allow my shop to succeed and flourish, but there's no shop. You don't open it. So that's against the principle of the means. There's a famous point here that a person used to come to a pious predecessor of ours and he said, can you do dua for me? That I have a desire to have children, that may Allah Ta'ala give me ulad and progeny. And Hazrat used to do dua, and he used to come back again, and they kept on doing dua, and this happened for a long time. Then once Hazrat asked him, he thought that so many times we're doing dua, why is his dua not being accepted? What's the reason here that he's not been accepted? So Hazrat asked him, that individual, that how long have you been married? He said, I haven't been married yet, Hazrat, but I do really have the desire to have children. So we have the desire to have paradise, attain paradise. We have the desire to become pious people. If we sleep, we want to see miracles, or miracles occur. We want to see a vision or a dream. Everybody wants to have ziyarah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who doesn't have the desire? Or ziyarah of Madinatul Munawwara. If we do tawaf, we have ziyarah and have good thoughts in my mind, in my heart. We have all these desires and passions. But remember, then it's just like what this man had, who didn't have the amal. So we need to bring amal, action, into play. If we don't have action, then we will not attain. So remember, the world that we live in is a realm where means are utilized to get to the end. So utilize the means, physically implement, and then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, I've done that action, I've carried out action, but can you complete this action for me and take it to its proper conclusion? I've done what I could, I've tried my best, but Allah, I raise my hands that please make this easy for me, this issue easy for me. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatika. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in this hadith, in this dua, dhikr as well. There are three maqam, three stations. What an important dua that a sahabi, a noble companion, is being given a lesson, and Rasulullah ﷺ is mentioning these words in this hadith. So tell me, how important will this message be for Islam that Rasulullah ﷺ is telling us time and time again? After every dua he used to do, after every salah, salam, he used to do this dua. And if we don't give it emphasis and priority, then it's ajib. So if we don't have this and we just keep doing dua, so if we don't do the amal, the actions that are mentioned in this hadith, and we just keep doing dua, then this will not work positively. So here the dua, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, do the dhikr of Allah. Rasulullah is given advice and strong suggestion that do the dhikr of Allah. So here Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us, do this action, shukr. So first Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that do dhikr of Allah. Remember Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then it's being mentioned that dhikr, when a person completes, implements dhikr, by fulfilling the conditions of the, for example, salah, there are conditions, you have to do wudu, then you have to have clean clothes, and you have to face qibla. These are all the conditions, we know this for salah. And if we don't have these things and I stand with the niyyah, then salah will not be accepted. In the same way, every ibadah, every worship has conditions, preconditions, and dhikr of Allah is such a great ibadah. So there must be a precondition that we have to implement. So it cannot be that a person, he does that ibadah with the preconditions, with the criteria that Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned, and there will be no effect or impact. This is, cannot be. How can it be that if a person does ibadah with the right preconditions and he doesn't get the impact, the result? So the reason we don't get the impact, the result, is because we don't follow the conditions. So fine, a person does dhikr. But we have to see that to do proper dhikr, you have to go to somebody who's pious, a teacher. So before dhikr is done, tawbah is first done. Tawbah, repentance. Why? Because when a person does tawbah and he presents himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Allah, first I request forgiveness for my sins. Then he commits some promises that Allah, I totally will try to leave and avoid the sins. I will differentiate between halal and haram, lawful and unlawful. I will worship according to your sharia. I will fulfill all the rights. These are the promises a person makes in tawbah. So we have to do this, isn't it? A person is doing tawbah. And the biggest point here is that in tawbah what we do is that Allah rizq a halal. Halal, lawful earnings. Because the earnings takes the food into the body and creates the blood. So when a person has the desire to learn dhikr, he goes to a wali of Allah, to somebody pious. So the teacher says, do tawbah first. First make your earnings halal, pure. You will save from halal and haram. And you will live your life according to sharia and you will fulfill the rights. So promise this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the person will follow the conditions of the ibadah. For example, like for salah, we'll do wudu, keep our clothes clean. So when the individual, after doing tawbah, he promises to Allah, and then he takes hold of the dhikr of Allah. Then he takes hold of the dhikr of Allah, and is consistent on everything that he's promised and that he's done. And if he passes away hungry, he won't eat haram. He won't eat haram because he's promised to Allah. And on that mujahada, on that striving and effort, what he's going to get in return from Allah is going to be very great indeed. So you don't just get a gift, a reward for doing nothing. No, we just keep doing dhikr, morning, evening, and my rizq is haram. I don't know about lawful or unlawful. I don't know about salah. And I'm playing with my nafs and desires and I'm just doing dhikr. That's it. Then I complain that there's no benefit of my dhikr. The reason the success of dhikr is being mentioned in this dua, that when a person fulfills the criterion and the conditions and does the action, then Allah Ta'ala uplifts his action, his deeds. And there are effects of dhikr. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. So first he does dhikr of Allah, and then he reaches to the maqam of shukr, of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great level. This is the level of the Anbiya salatu wasalam. Yeah, the blessed prophets and the Nabis. So, who, because they had shukr, and this is their muqam. So when a person does dhikr, fulfilling the preconditions, then it is lazim. What maqam does he attain? He attains the maqam, the level, the status of shukr, a shakir. And I can't go into this in depth now because there's a very great Tashri'in commentary and detail. But this is not my topic, what I want to discuss. But there's a very high maqam. And who gets this? Who? Who attains this? The dhakir, the people who do dhikr of Allah. The dhakirin, those who do dhikr of Allah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al. The person who does the dhikr of Allah, he will get this. Alhamdulillah, a person who's coming to this line, he does dhikr of Allah, fulfills the conditions, then he will do dhikr of Allah, and automatically Allah Ta'ala takes him to the maqam, the level, which is called maqam al-shukr. And then the effects take place in that person. He cannot even realize that he's a shakir, he's grateful to his Lord, he's a good person, pious person. So the maqam shukr. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. So he does dhikr of Allah, and he's a shakir, wa husna ibadatik. And then he goes further, husna ibadatik, that the ruh, the spirit of ibadah, is given to that person. So when he prays salah, he will see the reality. When he fasts, he will see the reality. These are physical forms externally, but the person will reach to the reality. He will reach to the reality of the recitation of Quran, subhanAllah. So he will attain the reality of the deeds. When he goes on hajj, he will get the reality of the Kaaba. So the person gets to the haqiqat, to the reality, and the total top maqam of haqqaiq, of the rights that a person attains. He starts from dhikr, then to shukr, then he will get the maqams, the levels of his ibadah, the reward, husn akhlaq. Husn ibadatik, husn akhlaq. And that's the highest maqam for a person, about which the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that I was sent to the world for this reason, to complete akhlaq and demonstrate akhlaq in its greatest form. So a person who does dhikr, he's elevated and he becomes a shakir. And after becoming a shakir, he goes towards husna ibadatik. And husna ibadatik, the best ibadah is akhlaq. And husna akhlaq, and the first thing a person gets. So mashallah, look here. These are all effects of dhikr. So what does a person get when he does dhikr and he gets the point to the point of top of akhlaq? Because akhlaq is a very big topic. When he reaches to the top of this height, that we people say that the high class akhlaq. And what is that? Tawakkal Allah. The person gets total reliance and trust and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His tawakkal Allah, it reaches to the very high point. His tawakkal becomes so strong that nothing can prevent him. And if anything becomes a test or a challenge for him, he turns to his Lord straight away. And he turns to Allah for guidance, for assistance. He has no doubt. There's no way he will do shirk. He will involve anybody, or he will go and ask anyone or beg from someone. Straight he goes who to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he's happy, he's happy with Allah. If he's got issues, he knows they're from Allah. If there are distresses and difficulties, from Allah. If he gets, it's from Allah. If he doesn't get, it's from Allah. If he's poverty, it's from Allah. If he's got ease and rest, then it's from Allah. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person starts to walk and travel on that journey. When he gets then to the station of tawakkal, there's nobody more content than that person. About with Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, Alladina, Allah ta'ala says that those people who do the dhikr of Allah, they are the ones who define the contentment in the heart due to the dhikr of Allah, through the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says that their person is most content and satisfied in the world. Allahu Akbar. That he has a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's sitting, Allah will feed him, Allah will give him food, he will run the business. Allah Ta'ala will give the assistance, because he has no concept of haram. That he does no concept of breaking any of the rules of the law. So where does he get all of this from? What is the first stage? That we all are doing the dhikr of Allah. This is the first stage. This is the first step. Dhikr of Allah elevates a person high. It's a very important thing. A great sheikh, one of the pious predecessors, who is from the Ajal Khulafa of Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullahi, you will have heard the name of this sheikh, who is a great personality, great pious predecessor. And he states, his khalifa, that once we were on a journey, me and my sheikh were on the journey, and he said, I was with my teacher, my murshid, and while we were on the journey, he said, the journey was towards the Hajj, or towards Umrah, to Makkatul Mukarramah. And as they were traveling, and they reached to such a maqam, which was in the wilderness, and there was just a masjid there. And after traveling so far, he said that our hal was that we were very tired, and on top of being tired, we were hungry, there's nothing to eat. There was a masjid and they stopped there. And he said, my situation was hard and Hazrat was hungry. There was poverty, there was no food, there was totally no resources. He said, when the situation became hard, Hazrat took out a piece of paper. He writes this, the Khalifa, and he wrote, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then he wrote to the Sheikh, the teacher, that Allah, I am your Dhakir, I am your Shakir, and Husna ibadatik, I'm on this platform, I'm on the platform of tawakkal Allah, I'm the dhakir, I'm the shakir, and I'm a mutawakkil. The fourth is your duty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I have three duties, but the fourth is yours, O Allah. And what is that? That you become my zamin, you become my protector. And who is my zamin, Allah? He wrote this down on that paper, then, that you are my zamin, Allah. Then he closed this paper, and Hudhaifa, the Khalifa, rahmatullahi, said that my sheikh gave me that piece of paper and said, don't look left and right, and don't think about anybody who's around you, the people. Don't think anything about or look towards the ghayr Allah. And then take this piece of paper, the sheikh said, and the first person you meet, whether he is limping or blind, whatever situation he's in, then give him this piece of paper. Yeah, so he utilized the means. But first, what did he say? That Allah, I'm mutawakkil, I'm waiting for your assistance, but you are the zamin, the protector. So the Khalifa, he took the piece of paper, and he was the student, and he said, I saw somebody who was coming along the way. You understand? He was on a donkey. He said, I set my eyes on him, I thought, this is the first man, I've seen him, and I've got to take this piece of paper. My Hazrat gave me this. He doesn't know who is Hazrat and what, but I've got the order. So he gave the piece of paper, and he opened the piece of paper, and he started to cry. And he cried so much, and shrieked and screamed. He said, "Where's the man who wrote this, the Kutub?" He said, "He's in a certain masjid sitting down." He said, "Is it?" Straight away he came off his donkey, he opened his bag, and he gave a bag in which there were 600 items. He said, "Go and give this to the teacher." He said, "Okay." So alhamdulillah, he went back with the bag and he didn't look what's inside it. And he went and he said, "Hazrat, this is the first man that I met, yes. And that when I met him, when I took the bag from him, then in my mind there was a thought that who can this man be? Who can this man be?" So by chance a man came. I said, "This person on the donkey, do you know him?" And maybe he will. He had some doubt, maybe he didn't know Hazrat. He said, "He's a traveler. Yes, I know this much, that he's a Nasrani. He is a non-believer, we have no link with this person." So he said, "I took the bag and I took it, the bag that was given to me by that person on the donkey. And I said, 'Hazrat, the order you gave, I presented your letter, piece of paper to the first person.' He looked at it, he cried, and he gave me a bag with 600 items. And 'Hazrat, who was that?' He said, 'Wait for 5 minutes, he will come here. The person who gave you this bag, he will reach here in a few minutes.'" Subhanallah. So the Khalifa said the 5 minutes didn't even pass and that man, he came to the presence there. And after he came, he started to fall at the feet of Hazrat. He said, "Please allow me to enter into Islam. Please assist me to enter into Islam. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika husna ibadatika." My brothers, the dhikr of Allah is a great action. And dhikr connects a person to Allah in a brilliant way. This is a path, the dhikr of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says, it's not us who's saying this, Allah Ta'ala is saying this himself, that if you want to reach close to me, how do you do that? Through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But such a great ni'mah of Allah, if Allah gives a gift, if Allah Ta'ala gives ibadah, then we should appreciate it. And we should fulfill that deed with all the conditions, this dunya, the nafs and the shaitan. This doesn't allow anything or anybody to progress, my friends. We enter into these things, but he doesn't allow us to progress by force or whatever. He takes us to the point that we discard and neglect the big name as well. And when we wake up on the day of judgment, we will see that what is the maqam of the dhakir. I'm speaking about myself, mashallah, not to you. When we see that what was the maqam of the dhakir, then a person like me who considered himself as a dhakir will try to enter. Then such a shove will be given that a person will travel towards Jahannam. Where are you? You think of dhikr? He said, "I used to do a lot of dhikr. I used to go to all the masjids. I never left this action." And Allah Ta'ala will say that this person, he did not do dhikr of Allah properly. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika husna ibadatik. Allah Ta'ala says, you didn't leave one sin for the sake of your dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, I gave you such a great reward. And you didn't even try to eliminate one sin from your life. Why? Because you had the fikr that my dunya will be sacrificed or compromised, or I will get less from the dunya. Where will I eat from? How will I pass time? How will I fend for myself? Rather, we take hold of ibadah for this reason, that totally we focus on Allah, we don't look towards unlawful things. He will feed us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, we are doing his dhikr, he will assist us. Otherwise, there's no point going down this line. Is there? Then we're doing dhikr and there's no benefit. There's no benefit. So if we don't have the effects in our life, the true effects of dhikr, then we're not succeeding. And we should enjoy that we are dhakir here. And when we wake up with the name of the dhakir. We should try to work hard, my friends. Do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that dhikr that we do, that we fulfill dhikr of Allah according to those conditions that Allah has given. We should consider halal as halal and haram as haram. And we should do ibadah in the ahsan way. As it's explained in the sharia, that do the ibadah this way. In the hadith, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the everything Allah Ta'ala has taught us. And if a person goes and he's doing tawaf and he doesn't do tawaf the way he should be done, will the tawaf be accepted? Will the hajj be accepted? For example, I put a picture of Medina here and I say, "Oh, I don't need to go to Medina. I can just look here and do what I have to do here." Will that be accepted? Will the jannah be accepted? If you stand and say, "This is the masjid and I'm just going to pray here," will the masjid salah be accepted? If the masjid isn't there, of course it won't be. So what is this deception? Tell me that a masjid is a real masjid. And if you're going on Hajj, you have to go to the Kaaba. And if you want to go to Medina, then you have to enter into Medina to enjoy the benefits. So whatever ibadah you do, you have to fulfill the condition. So if I say this is a masjid, then it's not a masjid. I say, "Oh, because my prayer mat's there on the floor, so this is a masjid, now I'll pray all my salah here and I don't need to go to the mosque." So this is a big deception for a person. We don't even know that how should we do ibadah. What are the conditions of ibadah? What kind of dhakir am I if I don't know these things? So, for example, a person who rises on the Day of Judgment, we hear the hadith, we read the hadith, and alhamdulillah, may Allah Ta'ala make us rise like this. But at least we should make steps and make an effort. Allahumma a'inna. A'inna. Allah Ta'ala says, "You ask me for help. Why do you fear?" So when the person is striving and taking the steps. Allah Ta'ala, we say, Allah, whatever restrictions there are, hunger, thirst, and all other fitnas, Allah Ta'ala, please keep helping me along the way so that I don't do anything that will be according to my desires, or by being scared of the dunya. Oh, dunya is gone, or the earning of the dunya is gone, or this person's going to leave me, he's not going to want to know me. So this, my brothers, this is a drama then. This is a drama. You know, like the Strays drama, there's a king there, and you, for example, you put the crown on his head, and you put a chain on there, and you say, oh, this is the barbarous king. You give a crown and a chain and his libas and attire. Well, is he Babar the king? No. But he looks like it. He's a drama. Everyone says, oh, this is Babar the king, but he's not the Babar the king. Yes, he's not the real king, or Akbar Badshah, the Akbar the king. And the dunya, and this is what the effect of the dunya is. We're not dhakir, are we? We are working hard, we're coming, we're doing dhikr, but we're wasting it, we're throwing it into the hole, like the water down the drain. That ibadah. Oh, friends of Allah, time is passing fast. Think. If we do maraqabah today, and think that how many years we have wasted, we consider ourselves to be the dhakireen. Yes? And we think that we did ibadah in the right places, and we think that our salahs are accepted. Think for a few moments that how much we are deceiving ourselves. That can anybody deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, you can't. No, you can't. So what deception in everything we do this. In every ibadah we cheat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every worship, where are we? What are we doing? Even today, if a person corrects himself and says, Allah, I want to do tawbah for you, for your sake. And after doing tawbah, you learn dhikr of Allah. First, my shaykh, Hazrat Nur al-Maqdar Hamdrahi, made me do tawbah first, then taught me dhikr. And then you remember the name of Allah. And how can we not get the maqam then? Then we'll become the person on that station, and he just writes the letter. Subhanallah. He just writes the letter, and his letter will suffice. He becomes such a king. You know, like the kings of the time. Say, what is it? He said, oh, can you do this for me? He says, just sign here and go and do what you have to do. He takes the signature, oh, the directors have assigned this, boss has signed this. Oh, boss? Okay, so they fulfill the request. So the person becomes so elevated, he's sitting in the jungle and he's just writing, Bismillah, dhikr, shukr, tawakkal. Allah Ta'ala says, give this to whoever you want. And subhanAllah will protect them. And this is called dhikr, doing dhikr of Allah. So this is not a small maqam, it's not a small ibadah. It's not a small ibadah. It is not less in quantity and impact. It's very great ibadah. And the biggest mercy is that Allah Ta'ala has given this to us. If Allah Ta'ala didn't give us this, that was another point, another matter. But who, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, does He give this great wealth to? Allah Rabbi Kareem has been so favorable to us that He's given us dhikr. He's given us His remembrance. He's told us how to do dhikr, etc. But despite this, we don't consider and understand dhikr to be dhikr. We continue down the unlawful way, the unlawful paths, and then we continue to call ourselves as the dhakreen. This is the biggest deception. Do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala take me out of this deception. You are pious. I speak for myself, about myself. MashaAllah, you are pious, you are good, and you're progressing well. So do dua for me that Allah ta'ala makes me a true dhakir and makes me save myself from time wasting, and I understand what is halal and haram, and my rizq is halal. MashaAllah, you are pious, you are good people, and your rank and status being elevated. Do dua for me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a difference in our older age. Ameen.